And now a story of the tortured even pretzel logic in the law when a government decides to give itself legal permission to kill. A 16-page memo obtained by NBC News that was apparently the legal rationale for the killing of American citizen Anwar al-Awlaki, an al-Qaeda operative in Yemen, is the clearest statement yet of U.S. policy on the use of pilotless drone aircraft. Awlaki was killed by an American drone strike in Yemen in September of 2011.
The death of Awlaki is a major blow to al-Qaeda's most active operational affiliate. Awlaki was the leader of external operations for al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula. In that role, he took the lead in planning and directing efforts to murder innocent Americans.
Joining us now is Karen Greenberg, director of the Center on National Security at Fordham University's School of Law. What does this memo reveal? How tantalizing is it in the sense that we've never seen anything like this before, that sort of thing?
This memo verifies what we suspected all along, which is that under the Obama administration, there has been a broad concept of what it takes legally to protect ourselves in the war on terror. And in some ways, an extension of the broadening of concepts used under the Bush administration, which is to say, essentially, the war on terror demands a different reading of the law, a different reading of executive power, a different reading of the enemy than we had in the past.
And in a sense, drones stand in for the nuclear power of the White House, in the sense that nuclear power and nuclear weapons justified a whole different set of rules for a president during the Cold War. Here we're seeing some of that same doctrine applied to pilotless drones, which don't have as huge a impact, but nevertheless can kill individuals.
Correct. What's at base here is the national security threat. And when you can claim self-defense, the question is, what are you allowed to do? What this white paper, which is a summary of a memo, tells us is that in the name of self-defense, the United States can act in a preemptive fashion without knowing about a particular target. And so, for example, the white paper cites 9/11 to say that we don't need to know about a specific attack. We just need to know that an individual is associated with al-Qaeda or associated forces and plans generally to harm the United States.
So when someone in the White House, even the president, says this was someone who was planning an imminent attack on the United States, in legal terms, that could just mean has said they might or is associated with people who might. It does not indicate there's a specific plot.
Yes, and therefore the burden is on the president and the executive, whoever is making this high-ranking official, knowledgeable high-ranking official that's cited in the white paper. The problem is, who do you want to give these powers to? And while the Obama administration trusts itself to be judicious in its temperament and its judgment, what about others who come along? And why should we just trust the executive in these terms?
Well, the counterargument would be you can't have the House of Representatives voting on drone strikes, and no one would want nuclear weapons sort of handed out to some secret cabal. I mean, in a sense, the White House is where it should be.
Yes and no. Yes, maybe the White House is where it should be, but the idea that process is taken off of the table is deeply disturbing. Also, there could be threshold considerations. Now, there may be in the longer memo, but we don't know that. What exactly does qualify a person to be targeted for killing? And in particular, it's disturbing to many because this is an American citizen.
As someone who understands the law, do you think it's unethical for a lawyer to draft a memo using logic that would support things like torture, drone killings, preemptive nuclear strikes?
This is a very complicated question. It is their job at the Office of Legal Counsel and wherever else they ask for advice to advise the president on what he can do. If it violates the Constitution, yes, I think it is something that is outside the bounds of their job. The question is here, how exactly can they expand the law to cover what it is they want to do? In the question of torture, it was to violate the law. In the question of targeted killing, they still have not told us in this memo that they're redefining the law. What they're doing is saying we're broadening in a different way. So while conceptually you could compare the predator drone killings to the torture memos, in many ways I think there are some distinctions.
Do you think this is authentic? There's a bigger piece to the puzzle here to give us a full idea of where they're perspective is on targeted killing?
No, I think this is a very illuminative and comprehensive document. I think that what they have withheld is sort of classified information, perhaps about where we were going to have drone strikes and things like that, that just wasn't necessary for their legal justification.
Karen Greenberg, director of the Center on National Security at Fordham University School of Law. Thanks so much.
Thank you.